The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Psalms 26, New Revised Standard Version. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O God. Sing aloud a song of thanksgiving and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glories abide. Do not sweep me away with the sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty. Those in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great congregation, I will bless the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. God is still speaking.
O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. I go around your altar, O Lord, singing a loud song of thanksgiving and telling of your wondrous deeds. My foot stands on level ground. In the great congregation, I will bless the Lord. The psalmist, the singer, the prayer of this psalm, long before the time of Jesus, and in the time of Jesus, and even today, in the company of a congregation or by oneself, is seeking God's vindication. God's exoneration or justification, redemption, God's graciousness for their life of integrity, their life of faithfulness, their life of trusting in the Lord without wavering. This is such a great psalm to share as we all gather in worship this day, loving God's house, extolling God's glory and steadfast love, walking in our integrity, walking in our faithfulness, trusting in the Lord, singing loud songs of thanksgiving, telling of God's wondrous deeds. Love, God's steadfast love is definitely in the house, in our talk, in our walk, in our song, in our trust. Thanks be to God. Yet as great as all of that sounds, I can't help but wonder. I wonder why it is that this psalmist, and any who may sing or pray this psalm, including you and me, sometimes have so much trouble seeing that love or letting that love, God's steadfast love, leave the house. This house of God. Leave it with us and inhabit the hearts and houses of others. Did you hear this same psalmist also sing and pray? I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty, those in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. Same psalm, different verse. Maybe even a whole lot louder and a whole lot worse. Vindicate, exonerate, justify, redeem me, O God. But by all means, don't offer the same to those others. Those with whom I will not sit, will not consort, will not accompany. Those sinners, those evildoers, those who I am absolutely certain are not like me. This is in the Psalms? Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. And I want to share with you now how grateful I am that one of my preaching professors made a point of instructing every batch of new preachers that came before them that we are sometimes called to preach against a text or part of a text. Not everything in our Bible hangs together all the time. A lifetime or even a few days of studying the Bible can lead to the discovery of multiple takes on the same topic, internal contradictions, and frequently more questions than answers. And because we share some of our scriptures with our Jewish neighbors and some of our Christian ancestors and contemporaries, including preachers and scholars, have found it very important to view our New Testament scriptures as superseding or completely fulfilling the Hebrew scriptures that we as Christians call the Old Testament, or teach that Judaism only existed to pave the way for Jesus' arrival, and even proclaim that the Jews killed Jesus, I want to say once again, in no uncertain terms, as many before me have said, including popes and bishops and preachers and scholars, that the Jews did not kill Jesus. So if you haven't heard it before, hear it. And if you've heard it before, hear it again. The Jews did not kill Jesus. Jesus was killed by the Roman state. Judaism is a fully legitimate religion and holy path to God. And our New Testament scriptures do not supersede, but live alongside the Hebrew scriptures, both testaments filled with holy text, sacred story, and living law to be written upon and carried in our hearts. So it is with those understandings and with that context that I will now preach against those portions of Psalm 26 that I believe Jesus' teachings and life also stand against. For Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. You have heard that it was said, taught Jesus, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. You have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, who makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Beloved, when love is on the loose, in acts of creation large and small, in prophets railing against greed and injustice, in a first century itinerant rabbi hanging around with tax collectors and sinners and outcasts and evildoers, when love is on the loose, in women who in faith time and again dare to reach from deep inside their life of pain to touch another's coat in search of healing, or remind us all, including Jesus, that like crumbs under a table, not one of us, not any single one of us is ever outside of God's scandalous love. When love is on the loose, at a table of grace and thanksgiving where no one is excluded, where all are invited, where all are fed. When love is on the loose, when love leaves the house, even the house in which God dwells and the place where God's glory abides, then God's glory gallops about with abandon, building and dwelling in new houses everywhere, even affordable ones, even in churches and temples and mosques filled with what were once multiple congregations where now many gather as one. God's glory gallops about with abandon, weaving together those deemed worthy with those deemed worthless, consorting with hypocrites. That's what God's glory does when it leaves the house. Hangs out with tax collectors and sinners and evildoers and outcasts and the wicked, regardless of whether wicked means really awful or really awesome. God's glory gallops about with abandon when love is on the loose, when love leaves the house, when God's kingdom begins to come. Because love is on the loose, and it has left the house, and it is about building new and exciting ways of being God's people together. God's kingdom begins to come, and God's will begins to be done, even on earth as it is in heaven, when love leaves the house, as we go with joy to love the world and live the way we pray. And live the way we pray. Please, God, may it be so. Amen and amen.